Isn't it good to laugh? Could y'all identify with any of those? Maybe all of those, right? You know, on Mother's Day, we had something for mothers, and they had a companion video for fathers, so I thought we'd have another good laugh. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. Today, I'm continuing and actually finishing the Under the Influence series, and instead of going back through all 6 weeks to set us up, I'm going to go back to week one. If you remember, in week one, I started off talking about how we're all in a spiritual battle. And the enemy does not want us to realize that. The enemy does not want us to realize that we can be in bondage, that we can have demonic spirits in us controlling our decisions, our feelings, our behaviors. He doesn't want us to know that, right? In fact, he wants us to think that he's not real or he's no big deal. But we know what Paul said. Paul said in week one, Paul said in the Bible, and I shared it in week one. He said it a long time ago. He said, be alert. He said, stay alert. For the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's already got unbelievers in deception. He's after the believers. And if you're a believer, you just need to know that there's a target on your back. But listen, we don't have to be scared about it. We can walk by faith and walk in confidence that with Jesus, we have the victory. Last week, I talked about ways that we need to get free. Today, I want to talk about ways we can stay free. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this series that has helped us understand more about the spiritual battle that we're in and how we can fight it, the good fight of faith, and be victorious. I pray today that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to respond to what you tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Actually, two verses, Matthew 12 and then Ephesians 6. Last week, I shared with you four steps to getting free, and some of those steps had sub-steps. And last week I didn't mention this, I meant to, but I didn't, but here at our church we have several ministries for people to help you get free. I shared the steps, but we also have a ministry so that you have somebody to help you and you're not trying to do it all by yourself. One of those ministries is called John 10:10. And I'd say probably half of our church, maybe a little bit more, have been through that ministry. This last time, though, we had so many people go through the class, we don't have enough ministry leaders to get to them all in a timely fashion. And so Tammy and I have decided to do what we call Freedom Night. And I think we've got two of them scheduled on the calendar. If I don't know if they've gone out in the email yet, but they will be going out this week. For people that have been through our John 10:10 classes, there's going to be Freedom Nights where we will minister to 18, 20 or so people, men and women, on those nights in kind of a group setting. I think freedom can come. You don't have to necessarily meet one-on-one. I think freedom can come. We're trying to learn new ways to do it so we can get to more people faster, right? But we also still offer the individual sessions for people that have deep-rooted histories and whatnot. Or if you go through the group setting and discover that, hey, there's still things I'm wrestling with, we still want to schedule time to meet with you. But there's different ways, different opportunities for you to get free, okay? Because I believe that Jesus wants to set you free if you really want to be free, but you got to need to know you need freedom. Today, though, I want to talk about staying free. In the same way that getting free, you have to be intentional to get free, you have to be intentional to stay free. Paul said, be alert, stay alert. In other words, there are certain things you got to do to guard your heart, to guard your mind, to keep the doors shut so that the enemy can't come back in, enter back in, and mess with you. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. In my Bible, I'm looking at the New King James Version. In my Bible, the subtitle says, an unclean spirit returns. So that tells me unclean spirits can return, okay? It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. So again, we see that they're not on us, around us. They're in us because they come out of us. It says, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. A few weeks ago, I said that these spirits are looking for a body to dwell in. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. I'll go back to that body that I came from. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And we're thinking, that's a good thing. Is it? Verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter where they came from. They enter, so they enter again. They return and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Pause for concern. It doesn't really do any good to get free if you're not going to be intentional about staying free. Amen. This is key. Which is why I think it helps a lot of times that before someone decides to get free, that they've come to Christ, that they've received the power or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they have committed a life to live for Christ and not in the world any longer, so that when we set you free, those are the things that you're going to need to stay free. And so I just strongly recommend that you think about what I'm going to share today, because it's going to be critical to you staying free. So seven keys to staying free. Number one, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. We read Ephesians 6 in week 1. I'm going to read it again. It says, finally, verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, so he's talking to believers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Who knows that our fight is against evil spirits? And we don't put on physical armor. We put on spiritual armor. And then he lists what the armor is. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, be able to withstand in the evil day. Who knows, we're living in evil days. We've been living in evil days. And having done all, to stand or keep standing. And then he says how to stand, verse 14. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So truth is the foundation of freedom or deliverance ministry. I think last week I referred to it as a truth encounter. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So gird your waist with truth. Sometimes we call it the belt of truth. It holds your faith breeches up, right? So you got to have truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's what protects our heart, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When we think about fiery darts, typically those darts shoot right into our mind, right? The lies that we've been told that we believe, the attacks of the enemy, normally it's in our mind. The battlefield is in your mind. And take the helmet of salvation. Now, this helmet of salvation is what protects our mind, our thoughts, right? That's where demons like to attack. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice we have defensive armor, but we also have an offensive weapon called the Word of God. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful, being alert to this end or for this purpose, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That sounds pretty intentional, doesn't it? You got to do something to get free, and you got to do things to stay free. And notice we're to do this not only for ourselves, but for all the other saints, for our spouse. We're to pray for our spouse. We're to pray for our children. We're to pray with our spouse, with our children. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. At John 10:10, we hand out this passage of Scripture called the whole armor of God. And for a long time after Tammy and I went through this ministry over 30 years ago when our kids were young, we took that prayer and we put it on the refrigerator in the kitchen, and every morning before they went off to school, we circled up in the kitchen, we held hands, and we prayed. I prayed that prayer over my family every day. Wouldn't be a bad idea to do. If you need a copy, call the office. They'll give you a copy, and you can do the same thing. Just put a little, you know, little refrigerator magnet. Just put that thing right there on your refrigerator. And it's right there in front of you. You know, you can't eat without seeing that prayer. So, and the helmet of salvation is really important, because to stay free, we really need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our thoughts. Listen to Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, that means the things that are upright or moral, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. So you can't be looking at porn and have pure thoughts. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, things that are positive. If there's any virtue in any of your thoughts, if there's anything praiseworthy, it says meditate on these things. Which means don't meditate on the things that are opposite of what I just read. You have to guard your mind by focusing your thoughts on things of God. It says set your mind or thoughts on these things, things above. And when you do that, listen, it leaves very little room for the enemy to come in and start messing with you. So that's number one, put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Number two, watch your words. In the same way that you have to guard your thoughts, you have to guard your words. You have to guard what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is really in your heart. So sometimes we need some heart work done. And that's possible through God's word, through the Holy Spirit, right? If you've got negative things coming out of your mouth, that means there's negative things inside of you. That is an indication I need to work on some things inside of me, right? Words have power. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Whoever said sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me was a liar. Words are very hurtful. Many of us have been hurt by words. The words of our parents, the words of our spouses, the words of our peers, the words of our friends, maybe words of church leaders, even words, maybe I've spoken words that have hurt you. Words can be very hurtful. They create wounds in our soul. And until we deal with those wounds, we'll never be free, and we can't stay free if we're listening to the wrong words or if we're speaking the wrong words. We can use our mouth to make negative confessions. We can use our mouth to make positive confessions. We can use words that build up and not tear down. We can use words that encourage others. We need to speak words that agree with God's word. We need to speak by faith and not out of our fears or our worries. You know, Tammy is really good at this. I'll say something and she'll say, watch those words. She kind of holds me accountable when my guard's down and I'm feeling negative and I start speaking negative things, she'll catch me on it. And I appreciate that. I may not want to hear it at the moment, but it's none of us do. That's our soul that wants to be in control. But we need that. We need that accountability. Because she knows that when I start making negative confessions, those little seeds get planted up here, and it does affect your heart, it affects your emotions, it affects your behaviors and your decisions. And so words are very, very important. We need to watch our words. Listen, if we don't do this, it's an open door for the enemy to come in and mess with us. So guard your thoughts, guard your words. Number three, which leads me to this, we need to stay in the Word of God. Usually when our words are off track is because we're out of God's Word. God's Word is our source for our words, right? I love what Psalm 1 says, 1:1. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's God's word. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Notice where your thoughts are. Your thoughts are on God's word. In other words, What he's just said is, if you really truly want to be blessed by God, you can't hang out with ungodly people all the time. You can't surround yourself with a bunch of sinners that have no intent on getting right with God. Do you hear this? I did a series called Guardrails that really helps you put some guardrails in place on your relationships that will help you do what you're hearing right now. And then we need to meditate on God's word day and night. If we do that, watch what it says, verse 3. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Who would like that to be the description of your life? A prosperous life, not just financially, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally, right? But it starts by hanging out and meditating in God's word day and night. Which is why I talk a lot about having a daily quiet time. Having a daily time where you pray and read God's word and journal. And it may only be for 5 or 10 minutes a day. It could be for 20 or 30 minutes a day. But you do have time if you'll be intentional and make time to make it happen. And as you're doing this, it helps guard your thoughts and it helps guard your heart. And this is important for maintaining your freedom. Okay? Otherwise, the enemy comes in and starts messing with you again. I made a few notes here of some of the faith heroes. Jesus battled Satan's temptations with Scripture. That means we should too. If Jesus had to do it, we probably do too. Anytime you get a negative thought, you need to just deal with it head on and just make a positive confession over that dart, that lie that Satan just threw at you. James said, the word of God is like a mirror to my soul. It will reflect, it will reveal to you your problems when you spend time in it. That's why some of us don't spend time in it, because we don't want to look and see about our problems. We don't want to look in the mirror. Well, then you're going to stay in bondage. David said it's a lamp unto his feet for guidance and direction. Paul said it's a cleansing agent. It's food for our soul. So there's all kind of positive benefits if we will stay in the word of God. It says, blessed is the man who stays in God's word. So that's number 3. Here's number 4. Crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross only on Sundays. I'm sorry. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Three things if you're taking notes. Number 1, deny yourself. Say no to your flesh. Deny your selfish desires, your fleshly desires. I think the week before last, I talked about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. We have all of those. We need to deal with them. Deny yourself means to say no to what you want and say yes to what God says you need. And so sometimes, who knows, like our kids come and they want something that's not good for them, and a parent has to tell them, no, that's not good for you. And so you try to teach your kids to deny what they want in favor of something that's better. We have to do the same thing as adults. We have to say no to our flesh. If our flesh is getting anxious and, you know, I want to go look at some dirty pictures, or I want to eat food that's not good for me, or I want to go hang out with people. When our flesh desires those things, we need to recognize it and we need to deal with it before it acts out. Otherwise, it opens up a door and we're not free anymore. In other words, humbly submit yourself to God and His will over your own will. It also says take up your cross daily. It didn't just say take it up. It said take it up daily. We're in a battle daily. In the same way that you have to eat food every day, not that you have to, but most of us, we eat food every day to live. We got to do these things daily. We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross daily. That, when I think of taking up my cross, you know, the cross was a symbol of death. I have to die to myself. I have to die to my selfish ways. I have to die to my desires. The question is, are you willing to die to self and put Christ above everything else? That's hard to do. It's easy to believe. It's hard to do this. Believing is not all we need to do. We need to be intentional about denying our flesh, taking up our cross daily. I wrote down a few questions just to kind of prod you a little bit. Would you be willing to lose some of your closest friends in order to follow Christ? I had to. It was painful at the time, but looking back, it was necessary. If I was going to get closer to God, I had to break up with some old friends who had no interest in going on the journey I was going on. You have to do it in a nice way. You have to do it in a loving way. Would you be willing to be alienated from some of your family members in order to put Christ first? That's hard to do sometimes. That's hard to do. I talk with people on a regular basis that they're caught in this quandary of, I'm wanting to go towards Jesus, but I'm around family that doesn't. What do I do? How do I navigate? It's not real simple all the time. But with the leading of the Holy Spirit, He will show you how to do that and to always honor God above honoring your family. Jesus said you need to hate, or you might be required to hate your brothers and sisters or hate your mother and father to follow Him. Now, I don't think He really meant hate. I think what He meant was you can't love them more than me, or there's going to be tons of reasons why you'll never follow me. So we have to make sure that in our heart and in our mind, Jesus is number one and everybody else. I've told Jesus, you're not my first love. You're my great second. Jesus is my first love. And Tammy's my second love. And I'm not sure which kid goes next, but anyway. And on different days, I tell each one something different. Would you be willing to follow Jesus if it meant losing your reputation or your job? You know, Donna, where's Donna? Is Donna here? I won't give any details, but Donna's on our greeting team. And Donna felt like she had to leave her job because her job was asking her to do something that was compromising God's word. And she left the job and didn't even have a backup. Let me tell you, that's a step of faith. And I told her, I said, Donna, God's going to bless you for that, because when He sees you take a step of faith for Him, He's not going to leave that unanswered. And so she has to wait for the blessing. But I just know God's going to bless her. And she's going to have something better than what she had. She didn't realize it, though, until she was put to the test. And I think she passed the test. Amen? And when we pass the test, God what? He blesses. Notice the word daily. This is to be a lifestyle. We're to wake up every day with these thoughts in mind. And then it says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. He said, you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to follow me. And follow me, you know, I think about following Jesus requires what? Obedience. Golly, that's tough sometimes. We can obey the easy things. What about the tough things? Obedience, trusting Him in all things. There's some things we trust Him in, but we don't necessarily always trust Him in all things. But He says, no, if you're going to follow me, you need to trust me in all things. It's constant surrender. It's constant service. But when I think about it, isn't that what Jesus did for us? Jesus did all those things for us. The question is, are we willing to do these things for Him? And the way I couch it in my mind so that I want to do it is, it's a great way to show Him thank you for what He's already done for me. So when I obey Him, I'm really saying, God, thank you for dying for me. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to trust you in all things. Even though I don't feel like doing this, if you've called me to do it, I'm going to do it because I'm going to tell you thank you for what you've already done for me. These are just great ways to show thank you for what God's already done for us. That's number four, crucify the flesh. Number five, develop the habit of praise and prayer. I didn't want 9 points, so I put two here together. When you go to take these preaching classes, they tell you, 3 to 4 points, never go past 7. And so what a lot of us do is we just start stacking them up. So today I'm at the max, I'm at 7, but point 5 is got 2 points, praise and prayer. And they both do the same thing. They silence the enemy. Praise is very powerful. You could call it a spiritual weapon if you want to. Praise. It's an expression of to God of our faith, gratitude, love, and joy for Him. When you come to a praise and worship service, that's what we're doing. We're singing songs to God, about God. We're expressing our heart to Him. Listen, listen, listen. When you just come late for a good message and you skip praise and worship, you're missing an opportunity to say thank you to God for all He's done for you. Amen. If we had to choose between a good message or worship, choose worship every time. Because worship is about Him. Now, my messages are about Him. But a message is something you receive and get to take home for you. But praise and worship is something you come and give to Him and leave with Him. So I want to challenge our church. Don't be late to worship. Don't be late to worship. Try to change your view of, you know, we have lobby and coffee time and we're out there for the first few songs. I want to get in by song three so I don't miss the message. That's old religious thinking. You need to break that habit. You need to tell your wife and your kids or your husband and your kids, hey, we're going to get to church 10 minutes early so we can fellowship and have coffee, but our butts are in a seat at the downbeat of song one. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, if you do that, you're going to see a whole difference in your spiritual experience. Amen? Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Some of the words, I think some of the translation, make a joyful noise. That's what some of us do. But listen, God loves it. He says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, all you people. Serve the Lord. There's the word serve. Serve, serving is a form of praise and worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's another way we worship God is by always giving thanks. The other day I was driving home and the Lord just put it on my heart. Or the Holy Spirit maybe put it on my heart. I have a long drive home. I just began to, just one after another, rapid fire all the things I was thankful to God for. And I just went on for 3, 4, 5 minutes. And the little things, right? Just even the little things, even the big things, just began to just rapid fire a list of things that I was thankful for. And by the time I got to it, man, I was in a good mood, had a smile on my face. So thanksgiving is really important. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with, there's the word, praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So praise and then prayer. Prayer is also a powerful weapon. The enemy does not want you to pray. He doesn't want you to come forward for prayer. I'm on the front row and I'm noticing it's all the women coming for prayer. I'm thinking, where are the men in this church? Where are the men? And I'm looking here going, I know that our church doesn't want everything to be led by all the women. I don't think the women want everything to be led by all the women. I think the women want all the men to step up, put their big boy pants on and lead. And one of the ways you do that is you get out of your chairs and you come for prayer. And you lead worship, and you sing loud and proud, even if you're offbeat. And let your family see, men, let your family see you being the leaders, spiritual leaders of your family. He doesn't want you praying for others. Listen, you will not be able to stay free if you don't develop a life of praise and prayer. You just won't. Because that's how you maintain freedom, is through worship and through prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always. Pray always. Pray all the time. And at times, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. That means pray in tongues. That doesn't be led by the Spirit when you pray. Pray in the Spirit means to pray in tongues, because it says pray in the Spirit and also pray in understanding. It clearly distinguishes between praying in tongues and praying in English. We need to do both. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And it goes on to say, this is God's will for you, that we pray all the time. 1 Corinthians 14:14, praying in the Spirit. There it is again, praying in the Spirit and praying with understanding, right there. So staying free will not happen without praise and prayer. And I don't believe you'll do this without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit power to want to do these things and to do these things. And then number six, stay in fellowship and ministry. There's two more. I know I'm getting to seven. Fellowship and ministry. You've heard me say this many times before, that the enemy will get the sheep that are on the outside of the fold. The ones that are out there on the perimeter, the edge, the ones that have walked away from fellowship, the ones that are isolated, all the Lone Ranger Christians that are thinking, I don't need church, I don't need life groups, I don't need Bible studies, just me and God, good luck. In fact, God's word doesn't even say that. You think you're strong enough for just you and God? No. The enemy will take you out. The best thing you could do is try to get in the core, get in the center of the fold, right? And it's okay to be a little bit selfish on this. I'm going to get so far inside that if he's going to pick anybody off of church, it's going to be somebody else, not me. Which is why we need to pray for everybody. We need to get connected, and we need to get involved. And where an open door gets opened is when we're not in fellowship or we're in wrong fellowship. We're hanging out with the wrong people. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Again, the Guardrail series has some really great truths and teachings about how to surround yourself with the right people, so that the enemy can't pick you off. You need to surround yourself with like-minded friends, people who will pray for you, people who will celebrate your freedom, people who will encourage you in your walk, who lovingly speak into your life, friends who are positive. Now, sometimes we work around people and we have to because it's our job, but man, if you have a choice, pick people that are positive, not negative. Pick people that are unifiers, not dividers. If you're hanging out with critical people, it's just a matter of time before you become critical. You need to really watch your relationships. You'll become like those you hang around. Amen? And then serving. Now, I'm so pleased that so many of our church members serve, but there's still quite a few that aren't engaged in serving. And you've heard me say this over and over. If you're not serving your, I talk to them all the time. I talk to people who have kind of checked out and then they come back and they're calling me with all the heartache stories. And as a pastor, part of me says, well, you shouldn't have gone out of serving. You're swerving. I don't say that, but I'm thinking that. I'm thinking you're exactly doing what I preached not to do. And I go ahead and pray for them, but I didn't. I said, you know what? You need to get back in. You need to get connected, and you need to get serving again. Otherwise, the enemy's going to pick us off and make life tougher for us. And then number seven, which is kind of a summary, stay totally committed to Christ. And the way you do that is by doing all the things I've just talked about. You got to stay totally committed to Christ. You can't be half in and half out, or you won't stay free. You've got to come to the decision. This is true for your marriages. Listen. When you got married, you made a commitment, I think. You made a commitment. You made a vow before God that I'm going to stay in this forever. And some of you are still thinking, you know what, if things don't get better, I may be out of here. That's not totally committed. If you want to be totally committed and have a better marriage, you need to get the option D off your page. There's no option D. Unless it's death. Till, I'm not giving you any ideas. I'm just saying it says till death. And men, listen. We had our gun club yesterday. There were some gun-wielding women out there. You better watch out. You better straighten your act up because, listen, that thing goes both ways. Don't mess with the women at G-Church, amen? We did an event one time back in the early days called Guns, Glitter, and Glitter and Guns or something. God, glitter, and guns. Watch out. No, we need to be totally committed to Christ. That's how, listen, going back to what I started with, that's how we keep the house full, a house that's been swept and clean. Listen, Remember, there was also a word there, empty. It was clean. It was swept clean, but it was empty. Once you got the demons out, you didn't get God and the Holy Spirit in there to fill that house up and to keep the demons gone. It's like putting a security system in your home. You know, people wait till they get broken into, and then they go buy a security system so it doesn't happen again. Doing the things I've talked about is like putting a security system in your home so that once they leave, they won't come back. They won't have room to come back because your house is so full with the things of God. I've been talking in this series about being under the influence of the enemy. Today, I've talked about being under the influence of God and the Holy Spirit. And when we're under the right influence, the negative influences don't have a place to live and survive. And if by chance, a demon tricks you, a demon comes, maybe not through a door, but through a crack in the window or something, if they trick you and somehow get in, listen, what do? We cast them out as soon as we can so that we can get free and stay free. So as I close today, would you bow your heads? I want to ask you, what is God saying to you today? And I want to pray, and then we're going to baptize some folks. What do you hear God saying to you? What have you heard Him say throughout the series? What have you heard Him say today about your freedom? About your freedom. For some of you, you're in bondage right now and you need to get free. And we would love to have a conversation with you about how to do that. Others, you've gotten free, but you need to do the things I've talked about today to stay free. And then there might be somebody here today or watching online. You've never come to Christ. It's impossible for you to get free without having Jesus in your life. It serves no purpose because freedom is the children's bread. Deliverance is for God's children. And if you're not a child yet, you don't even know that you're in bondage, and you really don't even have a desire to want to get out of bondage unless you come to Christ and He renews you and makes you a new person. And so I don't know, there might be somebody here today with your heads bowed and eyes closed, just out of privacy and respect for those maybe sitting around you. If you're here today and you haven't fully surrendered your heart, your life, your mind to Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand if you want to, and I want to pray for you. It happens through prayer and faith. The Bible says to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Savior, that He died to save you for all your sins. If you haven't been saved, if you want to be saved, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody? 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 Okay. If at any point you decide you need that, maybe not today. Did somebody raise their hand? I don't want to move on if somebody raised their hand. Raise your hand up high. Wave it at me so I can see you. I don't want to miss you today. Thank you, sir. The word says to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So if you're here today or watching online, I just want to lead you in that prayer right quick. Just say this with your mouth. Say this: Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I'm a sinner that deserves death, but you're my Savior that died in my place, so I don't have to die forever. I can live forever. And I want that today. I'm asking you to forgive me for all my sins, past, present, and future. Wash my heart clean. Wash my mind clean. Everything I've done up to this moment in time has been forgiven and has been washed down the drain, and I don't have to worry about it one more second. That's good news. Thank you, Jesus. From this day forward, I'm trusting you to lead me in the right way to show me how to live life your way and to be free as I do. Jesus, I confess with my mouth today that I'm born again spiritually. I'm a new creature in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, I'm a new person. And from this day forward, I'm going to live my life for you. And I say thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. Thank you for saving me today. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, one of our prayer partners is going to give you a book. I want you to take that book home and read it. If you'll fill out the little card that's in it and leave it with me, I'll know that you made that decision. I can follow up with you. I'm here to help you take some next steps for you to get strong in your faith. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord.